that you, Blumpy? Must have dozed off. I've been keeping myself awake for, what, 20 hours? Gotta talk to my winged wingman. Got your note. Thank you. The theme of the day is bat, so you don't want to talk about it? Hey, I don't blame you. This whole place is bass-ackwards. When you dream, it's vivid, wonky, and occasionally soothing in a magically surreal, hopium-infused, netherrealm type of way. But back here on the couch? It's all frame rates off. What is this, true motion? And then you got this confounding tablet interface. Did you design it? Cause whoever chose the UI must have been batshizutalore. Forgive me, I should have opened with something more positive. Magnificent decor. Was that you, Blumpy? Buddy? You there? Great, he flew the coop. And that's the thing about bats. Not to be confused with the stout wood sticks everyone loves to swing during baseball, cricket, and the cyber purge. Blumpy, our resident Honduran white bat, flew out the transom, apparently. But he left me a clue. A riddle, actually. Yeah. A riddle. You know bats have pretty big brains in proportion to the rest of their bodies. That's what Blumpy told me, so take it with a grain of bat salt, or bath salts. His riddle was this. To find this storage room, look for a nook where you could see yourself, but you could honestly, in a trillion years, never actually see yourself. It's a little salty, isn't it? So I set to looking around. This whole area, of course I didn't leave the actual office, I've mentioned before about how terrifying the hallway is. Something's out there. I tried everywhere you would think to find a stashed key, under the welcome mat, in the desk drawers, along the molding and ledges above the doors, bathroom mirror over the sink. There's a full-length mirror on the wall in the bathroom, but it's too narrow. A storage room implies walk-in. So that brings me back to, I guess, all the other doors in the place. I checked the window. I don't know, maybe there was a key stuck in some windowsill area or tucked under the rug. I'm not gonna pull back all the carpeting in this place, but it doesn't look like there's any keys anywhere else. So that search is to be continued. Since it doesn't seem Blumpy's gonna be here anytime soon, we might as well dive back into story 2 about the rose-colored blindfold. When we left off, Sandra had swam off to find Loki. Not long after, the harbor patrol arrived. They tracked Sandra out to the Hud River, and right as dusk fell, so too arrived Umar, Sandra's neglected teenage stepson, and of course, Niltonson the nudist's son from a previous relationship. The harbor patrol had picked up Niltonson, in fact, clothed. But father didn't recognize son. Umar had run away 8 months ago after dropping out of high school and claiming he had developed a new psionic ability called telepathy. He glided down from behind a cloud, donning a cape and mask, to fight crime as a bat-inspired vigilante on a hoverboard. Not to be confused with Bat Guy, who can't fly. As Nilt watched the young man coast toward him through the air, he thought he must be seeing some hallucination triggered by the psi mask. The harbor cops were all busy scanning the tumultuous river, looking for Loi and Xandra. But Nilt had taken off his psi mask, and as this bat-like crusader plunked upon the deck, Nilt grew faint. The next thing he knew, he was slowly regaining consciousness from the fetal position on the starboard side of the boat's deck. That's when he heard the voice of his estranged son.
You know you can hack a brain link using low-power echolocation. Or I can. Flip a switch, they lose muscle tone. I showed them a bat NATO rising out of the captain's quarters just to help sell it. You know Bunin's bats provide fellatio to help maintain thermoregulation during the cold season? Yeah, bats are very resourceful. At least that's what the scientists say. It could just be fun. But the point is that these are bats that are more open-minded than many humans.
Bisexual bats? Umar, is that you?
Oh, me? I don't go by that name anymore, Dad. But I also wouldn't name names.
Ah, okay. So, all these passed out harbor cops around us, you said they lost muscle tone. They're still conscious?
Yeah, they can hear everything we're saying, so keep it at a whisper, maybe.
That's not a solution, son.
The thing is, they're not gonna say anything because how embarrassing.
What's this cape attached to your forearms? Is that a flying squirrel glider air suit?
Is it not obviously bat wings?
You do know there's a bat guy.
Yeah. But I don't really identify as that. I'm more gender and species fluid. Bat person or batty.
Batty? That could easily be turned into an insult. Just off the top of my head, I can think of two.
That's the point. It's bait.
Ah, okay. So they say, hey, batty brains, and you're like, what did you just call me?
You're catching on, but it's not just me. I got a whole colony. A bat's strength lies in numbers. Bat guy's a tool in a tool belt. Me and my bat homies, we're the whole ratchet wrench set.
Okay, where's your ratchet bat crew?
Well, you've got to start somewhere. Anyway, I'm a hunter, a vampire bat, if you will. A little bit of spectral bat mixed in there.
I'm sorry, you've lost me, son. We should...
No, don't worry. I've echolocated Xandra. She's fine. The guy she was looking for ain't looking too hot. But here's the thing you don't understand, Ed. A bat colony is very much a community. You know, we partake in social grooming. That's a common thing for vampire bats, but it's not what it looks like. I mean, yes, we're very hygienic, but bats cleaning each other is actually a sign of food sharing, okay? Because a vampire bat can only survive 2 days without feeding. Therefore, a bat will beg another bat for food if it has failed to find its own.
I don't see how this is relevant. Can we just get your stepmom?
Okay, I'm gonna get her in just a second here. My point is that a donor bat may regurgitate a small amount of blood to sustain the other member of the colony, and that's common. And in fact, you would think it would just be a family thing, but also they're likely to help all kinds of reciprocal relationships with other bats. It's not just some kind of beggar thing where bats are walking around like schnorrers, you know, oh, please give me some blood. Donor bats will go out and approach starving bats and donate to them so we kind of understand each other's plight. I mean, what I'm saying is that these bloodsuckers are better philanthropists than most sapiens.
Okay. So basically bats are, you know, hooking a bat brother up, typically.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, remember me down the road, okay? And good luck. It sounds like a lot of moving parts.
Hey, that's the batty life.
I still don't see how batty strikes fear in anyone's heart, but...
It's not supposed to. It's supposed to warm people's hearts. Last thing we need around here is more fear. Am I right? Anyway, who wants to commit a crime in front of Batty? Like I said, this is like a humiliating thing, right?
I'm afraid these psi masks were a mistake. I think you should take it off. You shouldn't be wearing a psi mask.
Nah, I needed this, actually. I like my psi mask, but the way that you keep adjusting yours like it's sunglasses that you're wearing on top of your head, you got big OCD energy, Dad. Now, I'm gonna go down there, see if I can retrieve my stepmom. Maybe rebuild our relationship? If these lugs regain their muscle functions, just... keep them occupied, if you could.
I'm not cuffing a bunch of blackguards, okay? I'm a guest on this police vehicle. There's no way.
Of course not. Dad, I would never ask you to put handcuffs on about half a dozen blackguards. Are you out of your noggin? With your obsessive compulsive disorder, you'd have to check they're locked like 1,000 times. We wouldn't be able to get out of here until sunrise. Please, just if they wake up, tell them you saw some commotion over by the marina, okay? That's all.
I don't know.
You don't know what?
I feel like I failed you. You know, Xander has done her best as a stepmother, but when you ran away last year, I just kind of seemed like I really, messed up.
Dad, here's the thing. I know you seem disappointed, but I'm actually happy for the first time in my life. I mean, it was tough running away and trying to find myself. I do have, you know, this power, telepathy, which has been helpful.
Oh, really? Is that thought you were using like echolocation or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's that too. But the telepathy, it allows you to kind of get into other people's minds and feel what they're feeling in the moment, which is not useful at all for a superhero. It's actually quite disorienting. But the power can be turned inward on yourself. And in that respect, it really showed me my moral compass and gave me a sense of what I really wanted to do with my life, which is become a bat person for almost a century, running around. I mean, now what is he? He's like a hologram of his former self with this bat mask, calling himself Bat Guy. Can't even fly? Criminal. I finally did justice to bats everywhere, and I'm okay. I intentionally modeled my whole costume and approach after the spectral bat with hints of vampire because, you know, they're one of the few bats that can actually walk and easily take flight from ground level. It's just something that feels right to me. In terms of the good and evil thing, you know, okay, so we come after cops, blackguards, at times. Someone's got to keep them in check.
No, I think I get the point. It's, I don't know, baddie.
You're still caught up on that?
Why not spectral or spectrum? I mean, you mentioned the spectral bat, you know.
Pop, come on. This is my identity. It's not a workshop. We're not brainstorming here.
Xandra emerges, gasping for air.
Ah.
What in Sam hell is he doing here?
Schlitzballs, I was about to rescue you.
What are you wearing?
More like, what are you not wearing, right? Tell me when I can look, okay?
Oh, that's funny. You couldn't rescue your stepmom or a naked woman, okay, Umar?
Hey,
whoa, shh. Honey, they can...
It's okay, they're all pretty much conked out by now. I triggered the hypersomnolence switch. Oop, wait, nope, except for one. One of them's stirring. There's one, actually, that never even got cataplexied. I don't know...
Wait. You're telling me there's one guy here that collapsed, what, for fun?
Yeah, apparently. Maybe he's a poser, or he just, you know, sometimes you just go with the flow, follow, I don't know. But whoever that guy is, if there's one cop here that's actually not paralyzed, I can't actually sense. You know, the bat's nose is basically like an infrared detector. I can sense the body heat, but right now I can't discern between which one is conscious and capable of moving and which one's not. I just know there's one here.
What are you doing? Umar, what are you...
Shh. You want me to kill him?
What are you doing?
I told you there's one guy here that was awake. This is the one. I had to knock him out. I swear, if I lose my anonymity, you've ruined my whole life at this point. Which, considering how my mother neglected me, would be par for the course. But now, I'm gonna get us out of here.
If you strip that blackguard of his uniform, we...
One more word, and I'll do much worse. Did you know the vampire bat has permanently razor-sharp top incisors due to the lack of enamel?
Oh, gosh.
Now help get Xandra dressed so I can look in that direction.
You're not going to...
Yes. Yes, I am. I need the adrenochrome, actually epinephrine, and plasma. What I don't need is iron poisoning, okay? Coagulants, blood clots. So, to chug a quart of this poor soul's blood, I'll have to do what my fellow hematophage brethren do, which is urinate, in order to make room and lighten my body weight for our exit flight out of here. That's why bats urinate on their victims. It's honestly nothing personal. We get it. Having your blood harvested without you knowing is violating enough. No one's trying to add insult to injury. It's just logistics. Okay, so don't take it out on vampires. I mean, vampire bats. Vampires, I mean, that's a whole other thing. And I don't identify as that. But if you would be so kind as to give a bat person some privacy while they feed, please.
What happened next was beyond awkward, though it was a courtesy in a way not to... Actually, I'll just move on. Nilsson and Xandra became impatient and commandeered a lifeboat hovercraft to safety. Xandra had placed her mask on Loey, who was able to avert any permanent brain damage from oxygen deprivation. However, the rough handling from the hydroid had severed his vertebrae in two places, causing enough nerve damage to put him in a full limb replacement program using cybernetic prosthetics. He attended the same rehab clinic for bionics as Mark. There, they struck up a deeper friendship than before. Yes, Mark had to undergo a full leg and arm replacement as well as a spinal recap. Evelyn, for her part, grew bitter and distrustful and sought transfer to a new department. So when a spot opened up at the Blackguard Office of Media, she hopped aboard, separating from Loey, at least for the time being. And B? Well, Officer Markson still sees him from time to time. He usually curses his cyberleg unit with a vigor that could very well be a cascade of insults aimed at a bee, and not just a malfunctioning leg. And oh, baddie? Well, they disappeared into the night after hoovering up a quart of an officer's blood. We have to keep an ear out for their echolocation, but I suspect that's not the last we'll see of them or hear of them. And that's the batty life. Previously, as they sidled up to the building, Zelly unholstered a grappling gun. It fired and zipped her up to the third story.
Just stand guard as promised, okay, geezer?
Odell flattened against the side of the house and flipped down an infrared visor with a huff. Zelly tossed a diversionary explosion on the opposite side of the roof and waited for the woman of the house, Mrs. Karabak, to set down the baby and wander out of the room to investigate. Mrs. C stopped, laid baby Yono down in the crib, tied her hair up in a quick bun, and secured it with a chopstick. She left like clockwork. Zelly tossed her automatic glass cutter onto the large window. Its suction cup legs steadied its circulating blade. In less than 90 seconds, Zelly was in the nursery. She lifted baby Yono to her breast and burped it. Then she secured it to her body with a special grip-tight harness. She tossed her gear into the large, heavily armored baby buggy. As she headed toward the door to exit the house like a regular visitor, a shadow appeared in the frame. Mrs. C was back, and she was not happy. She cartwheeled straight at Zelly, who sidestepped to protect the baby, but she was too cautious. Mrs. C flipped the chopstick out of her hair. Her left hand deftly divided the titanium chopstick into two razor-thin telescoping blades. Before Zelly could take the next breath, one chopstick was deep in her neck, right next to the carotid artery. The other chopstick grazed her eyelid in Mrs. C's whip-smart grasp. As a drop of blood trickled down her lid onto her lashes, Zelly saw her life flash before her eyes. And beyond it, a form entered the room from the hole in the glass that she had used. Ernesto, her gum-stealing 10-year-old nephew, somersaulted into the room and caught Mrs. C's right hand as it arced around in a windmill swoop aimed at Zelly's temple. He went ballistic on Mrs. C, tying her to his grappling wire and tossing her out into the night air to bang against a second-story window, an effective and classic defenestration. Zelly spoke up.
"Didn't expect to see you here. Who told you?"
Ernesto cut her off.
"Yo, you think so little of me? It was easy to snoop on your plans."
She nodded knowingly, eyebrows raised in shock. He helped Zelly and the baby rappel by rigging the armored buggy up to her grappling line and having her stand on its rear platform like a Roman riding a chariot with Yono inside.
"Don't get in the way of the baby walker. You'll need it to carry these."
He tossed a heavy bag at the buggy and it magnetically clung to the side.
"I'm relieving them of some platinum."
The baby buggy walker was an arachnid-like carbon fiber steel mecha tank, capable of rolling on treads or rising up and walking on its servo-powered legs. Its legs extended out. Just as Ernesto hit the grassy lawn, it shut down loudly. They were surrounded. Two cyber samurai held their vibro swords inches from Ernesto's throat, as if to say, "Just stop. And we will have to just stop there and pick this one up on the next go-around." Now, every time one encounters a bat, as I have, it's important to thank one's lucky stars for being able to behold the only flying mammal in existence. You see, when I see a bat, I feel like I just found an unopened cocoa truffle zephyr-flavored Toblerone on the street. I'm excited. I'm not going to eat the thing. The bat or the candy bar. Pretty sure they're both full of nougat. But there's something about that iridescent pink packaging glinting in the sun. You ever half step on an unopened candy bar, not knowing what it was? I have. I freaked out and shrieked. Which is how most close encounters with bats go for the average denizen. And yet, we celebrate bats in Hellgate City for a reason. Heck, look at our sports teams. The Amsterdamian Air Devils. Gotham Gargoyles, Bat Bay, official mascot of the Yoinkies, because a world without bats would be a desolate place. No chocolate, no tequila, no figs.
"Howdy, sapiens flaccidus. Well, you ain't the rectus."
"Aha, you want to get personal?"
"You know my answer to that."
"Well, I've been up for going on 20 hours.
How, Peachy? Look at the time.
Don't ditch me, you airborne rodent. When I got here last month, no one received me.
That don't concern me.
Fine. I have my own ideas about what's going on big picture, but I think we can both agree it doesn't really matter what I think, does it? What matters is the people on your end dropped the digiball.
My end? I turned in my badge.
This tablet was dead, and it took me 3 days to find the charging cradle under the front desk.
Yeah, I know. I put it there. You know, most bats wouldn't put up with this.
Oh, really? What if I were to hit you?
You'd probably kill me, Einstein.
Huh. You seem far too intelligent for a bat.
You seem far too stupid for a portal physicist, but who's keeping score?
Precisely. Who?
You think if I knew the scorekeeper, I would be here with you?
Well, if you're trapped here too, where have you been all this time?
I'm nocturnal.
Wouldn't you be sleeping here during the day and awakened by my...
blathering?
Yes.
You're all mixed up, Meatsack.
Says Mini Meatsack. We're no different.
Incorrect. You have any idea what it's like to be me? Heck, your philosophers have surmised that they couldn't possibly imagine what it's like to be a bat. I'm an elegant, angelic creature that flies through the air and keeps a finely tuned ecosystem in balance by eating a particular type of fig.
Certainly you made some mistakes. Crapped in the water supply or...
Of all the people, I never picked my nose into a half-eaten can of beans and tossed it into an octopus's garden.
And I have?
Twice.
So you're saying...
It's the tail end of nighttime, which is the right time for me to rest.
And you've returned home after...
One word in front of the other. You can do it.
Dawn? Constant twilight outside is confusing.
Have you seen light pollution? Don't answer.
Thus, daylight approaches.
Not bad, sapient face. I mean, portable conversation, but...
That would mean I go to the other place during the day?
Yep, that's the downside up.
This is the sleeping and that's the waking? That would make this the worst dream.
Imaginable? Now you're cooking. Why you would want to remain in this nightmare baffles me, but it's your afterlife, pal. Anyway, time for some shut-eye.
Now, hang on. About that, I do wish to escape. That's the only reason I've stayed up past the usual hour. Could you help with...
What part of shut-eye do you not... Need I say shut ear?
No, I do hate to impose on your circadian whatchamacallit, but as you've said, it's a nerve-wracking prison I've gotten myself into, and any pointers on where or how I could exit would be much appreciated. Well, I'll call this progress... I should be getting to the downside up myself.
Shocking sleep fact for episode 16. In 1802, English chemist Humphrey Davy created the first incandescent light bulb. About 70 years later, Edison Electric Light Co. began developing a mass marketable, reliable electric light bulb that would change our lives forever. We had incandescent bulbs and fluorescent bulbs, ensuring that humans would end the millennia-long tradition of spending night in relative darkness and firelight. And after 100 years of electric lighting, we now know the impact. The loss of daylight once informed our suprachiasmatic nucleus that nighttime had begun, triggering the pineal gland to release melatonin. That signaled to our brains and bodies that darkness has fallen, and we too must fall to sleep, ideally in bed. But thereafter, sleepiness would occur at what point naturally in the day? Well, we'll get back to that one after the credits. Screaming Panda presents Bat, episode 16 of Hellgate City, season 2. Bat was written, performed, and produced by Kevin Barry in this cave, where he also created its original music and episode art. The Glitch in the Matrix bonus tale for this chapter is Pedestal. It's available on the show's Patreon at patreon.com/Hellgate City. We forbid ads and sponsors, at least for now, in order to give you the best listening experience. Instead, we rely on people like you to make a small pledge of financial support. The only catch is it will be inconceivable for the show to keep on going ad-free on a weekly basis without increasing our current handful of patrons, for whom I am extraordinarily grateful. The upside is Patreon makes it super easy, starting with as little as 20 cents a day. I mean, that's two American dimes. Patrons get exclusive weekly glitches, the short but sweet bonus stories capping off each episode and adding a twist on the theme. Plus, pre-release soundtrack music, behind-the-scenes content, director's notes, field recordings, and more. In fact, the next tier up, Dreamwalker, gets two pre-release episodes every Thursday, for the most part, in the form of next week's show and glitch. For more information, visit hellgatecity.com or email us at hellgatecity@proton.me. Join us on social media at Hellgate City, all one word, and rate the show on Spotify to right the wrong of our 3.9 star rating compared to the 4.9 stars we got on Apple. Come on, what's going on there? And if ever a swarm of bats descends upon you beneath a street lamp, try asking them to carry you to Batland, Disneyland's cooler cousin. And now let's wrap up our shocking sleep fact. At what time would one naturally become tired if we didn't have all this artificial light flooding into our lives? Several hours after dusk. You see, electric lighting changed everything. An influx of artificial evening light fools your suprachiasmatic nucleus into believing the sun has not set. This applies the brakes on melatonin, which then delays the forward progress of biological time, which would otherwise render us all naturally tired and ready for bed between 8 to 10 p.m. Till we meet again, dream hackers.